श्रीमद् भागवतम महापुराण की जय। We're continuing chapter 30, the gopis search for Krishna, rasa krita, Krishna vasana. Now we're in verse 21. Aruyaika padakramya shiras yaha param nripa tushtehe gachat jatoham kalanam nanadhandakrit. Translation. Shukadeva is, of course, narrating all these beautiful gopi leelas to King Parikshit. O king, one gopi climbed on another's shoulders and putting her foot on the other's head, she said, "Go away from here, O wicked snake." Kaliya, you should know that I have taken birth in this world just to punish the envious. Jiva Goswami comments on text 21. Using her feet, putting them on the head of another gopi, and enacting the Kaliya Leela, one gopi said what she said. Oh, wicked snake, leave this place or else I'll punish you. Though in the actual pastime of Kaliya Mardan, Krishna did not say this, but the gopis said this as a conclusion or to explain the meaning of the pastime. Interesting. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says, Dushta Ahe, wicked snake, doesn't say the name, but this obviously means Kaliya. So there's nothing much, they don't say more than that. Anyway, nice point here that anybody that's, we say in Hindi, dushta, durjana, or dushta jana. Dushta jana means a very wicked, bad person. So these type of people should not stay in Vrindavan. Because Kaliya is a jiva, and he came to Vrindavan and he polluted Vrindavan with his anti-devotional behavior. Everything that was important and meaningful to Krishna, he tried to destroy or poison or kill. The birds flying over Kaliya Daha, they would smell the poison emanating from the Rad Lake, and they would die. And the cows would drink the water of that Yamuna, part of the Yamuna, and they would die. And the coward boys would drink the water, and they would go unconscious. So he's a very destructive. He was destroying Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and by his poisonous presence and by his poisonous activities. But sometimes there are personalities that live in Vrindavan, and by their poisonous activities, by their poisonous speech and their poisonous arrangements and shenanigans, if you like that one, shenanigans, they cause disturbance to the pure flow of Krishna Bhakti. And the pure flow of Krishna Bhakti is symbolized by the clear waters of the Yamuna, which ever flow on to her husband, the ocean, and the Ganga Sagar. When Yamuna meets with Ganga and Allahabad, and together they course across India and go to Ganga Sagar and empty into the husband, Indian Ocean. So Krishna says, go away from here. So all the Kaliya-like people, Krishna is giving the same order to all of them. Go away from here. That's nice. But unfortunately, sometimes they stay around and Krishna has to kick them down. Krishna will jump on their head and kick them. Sooner or later, instant karma is going to get you. Some people stay for some time and they create a lot of disturbance to the Vaishnavas and Krishna's bhaktas, but then they get driven away from Vrindavan. Text 22. Tatraiko vacha he gopa tavagnim pashyato bhalam Chaksham yashva pidadvaham vo Vidasye shemam anjasa. Anjasa. Etat sarvam guru bhakti anjasa jayate. Same word is there in 7th canto, chapter 15, verse 25. Etat sarvam guru bhakti. Guru bhakti yanjasa, purusha yanjasa. That a person who has guru bhakti, one who has guru bhakti, anjasa, or yanjasa, or anjasa means very quickly and very easily. If someone has guru bhakti, then etat sarvam, etat this, sarvam. All these things I've just told you can be easily overcome and crossed over for someone who has guru bhakti. And what are the things that guru bhakti conquers? Tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Our inner lust, our inner greed, anger, envy. All the bad qualities we have, all the prabdha karma we have, all the inhibitions and hang-ups and non-devotional sentiments and desires that are within our mind and hearts, they become destroyed by guru bhakti. This is the teachings of Narada Muni, 7th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 15, verse 25. The same word is here. Vidaya se shemam anjasa. Easily. Another gopi spoke in text 22. My dear gopas, hey gopa, look at this raging forest fire. Devagni. Samsaradavan alalida loka. Samsaradavanala. Davanala. Davanala means forest fire of birth and death, or burning. Human body is burning, fire of digestion. We're burning from the time we manifest, and eventually we burn up. Poof. Internally, we're burning in the fire of our own body, digestive fires, and externally and mentally, we're burning in the fire of our own karmas. Samsara davan alalita loka chanaya karunya ganaganatum praptasya kalyana gunaravasya. O Gurudev, you've acquired all auspicious things, praptasya kalyan, by your surrender, by your fortune, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, you've acquired many good things. What is the good thing that Guru has acquired? Krishna, Sangha. Praptasya kalyana guna arnavasya. And he's an arnava, he's an ocean of good qualities to extinguish the fire of samsara. Water puts out fire. So we need an ocean. Our samsara fire is so great that we need arnava. Davanala on one side and arnava on the other side. Davanala is not small fire in your trash can, your dustbin. It's a forest fire. The third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni talks about the forest of samsara, forest of material enjoyment, indriya sukh, vishayi priti. And then Bharat Maharaj talks about the madmen that are attached to sense gratification. Nunam pramatak krute vikarma yadindriya pritya aprinoti. Yadindriya pritya aprinoti. Nunam pramatak krute vikarma. Vikarma, they're pramatak, they're totally mad. Everyone in samsara is totally mad. Nunam pramatak krute vikarma. Indriya priti. I love my body. I love my senses. Indriya Priti is supposed to be Bhagavat Priti, Priti Sandarva, Krishna Priti, Radha Priti, love for Krishna and Radha, but we love our bodies. So, this is the forest fire is burning all around the coward boys, threatening to devour them and scaring the cows. The cows are crying in fear. Bow! 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 Oh. Our Gomata is in danger. So everyone runs to find the cows. their very life existence. Oh, Krishna, Balaram, and all the coward boys. Raging forest fire. Oh, Krishna. All the boys turn to look at Krishna. What to do? What to do? Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bachao, Bachao, Bachao. Oh, great, powerful arm, Krishna, please save us from this raging forest fire that's about to devour us and all of our cows. And Krishna says, relax. Just close your eyes and dream of a beautiful oasis somewhere, beautiful sea cruise in the Mediterranean. No problem. Tell everyone, close their eyes. And Krishna inhaled everything like Dhruva Maharaj. Put everything, put the fire, because he had a lot of lunch that day. Krishna's mother cooked so many rasgullas and so much rubri and chaka-chak bhog that Krishna, at that juncture, he had some indigestion. So he had a choice between taking hajmol or eno or some baking soda, something to relieve, or some soda water to relieve the gas in his stomach. That's one way, or you can increase the fire. When you have heavy bhog, then the fire gets snuffed out. Too many logs in the fire. But Krishna said, what an ideal arrangement Agni has made. Vitar Agni is inside, Vitar, Jatar Agni, the fire in the belly. And now Agni is outside, eating up this forest fire. So Krishna just took Agni inside his belly and, oh, it's nice. Everyone, it's a win-win situation. Krishna digested his excessive eating of lunch and the forest fire was put out. All the cows were saved. All the boys were saved. And a happy ending for all, as usual. Krishna's Leela. So the gopis are remembering that because they're being burned up also. They're being burned up by the Viraha Agni, the fire of separation from Krishna. And as he, and the implication of their statement is, as they're saying, oh, Krishna, all your coward boys were burning and about to be devoured by the fire created by the Davanagni demon, the fire demon, friend of Kans. But what about us? You saved the coward boys. You saved the Sakas, but not the Sakis? We're your Priya Sakis. They don't care about us. We're also being burned up. We're surrounded by these tree-like relatives. Our relatives and in-laws are like a forest of trees, and they're all on fire. What to speak of the separation? Our minds, we're surrounded by a forest fire, and we're burning inside in separation from you. Our hearts are about to melt into a pool of devastation and utter helplessness. Please swallow the forest fire of our separation from you. Prabhupada translates, quickly close your eyes, they say, and I will easily protect you. Anjasa, shimam, yoga kshemam bahamyam. It means provide and protect. Vidasye shimam. Anjasa, very easily, very effortlessly, very quickly, I will adjust everything. Prabhupada gives a translation. Another gopi told her friends, just see, the flames of the forest fire are coming to devour us. Please, all coward boys, close your eyes, and I shall immediately save you from this imminent danger. So one by one, we're being reminded of Krishna's Leelas. Balya Koganda Kaishur. And this is Kaishur, text 21. And there's no Tika Vishwanath on this one. 23. Padanya Yaya Sarja Kachit Tanvi Tatra Ulukale Padnami Bhanda Betaram Ayangava musham twiti Bita sudrik pedayasyam Beje biti pidambanam. This is a Ulukal. One gopi said, the translation of 10:23, one gopi tied up One gopi tied up her slender companion, Buddha, like Nitya Buddha. That's us. We're also tied up by Maya, the Triguna. Guna means rope, by the way. Also means ropes. Buddha, we're tied up by the three modes of nature. Buddha, Anyaya, Shraja. So it's a very terrible way to be bound. This gopi tied up in a mood of Mother Yashoda. This other gopi tied up, one gopi, slender gopi, Tanvi. Tanvi is a very beautiful word. It means, it's a feminine word, describes a beautiful woman, a Tanvi. Banotanaya, you've heard this term? Banotanaya means a slender, beautiful, slender daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Banotanya. Banotanya is Radharani. So Tanvi, very beautiful sounding word. Tanvi means slender waist, Sumadhyama or Tanvi. Very beautiful. So she tied this other gopi to the Ulukale, grinding mortar. And then she said, now, well, she used a flower garland, very fierce binding. To tie someone up with a flower garland with this tiny little string, you can just sneeze on it and break it. It's not like heavy ropes or chains and ball and chain. It's very simple, but it's the Leela. And she said, now I will bind this boy who has broken the butter pots and stolen the butter. A banda. It's not the pots, the whole storage room. Like we say, bandara. There's different bandara and banda. Bandara. This is a storage room. It broke. Banda betaram. Hayam gava. Gava means ghi. Musham, stealer. The second gopi, who was playing the part of Krishna, then covered her face and beautiful eyes. Sudrik, Bita Sudrik Pidaya. Bita Sudrik Pidaya. Drik, Drik means darshan, Drik, Dristi. So Drik means eye, and Su means very beautiful. Sudrik, Bita means afraid. And she covered, pretending to be afraid. Jiva Goswami is just simply saying that one gopi is playing the part of Yashoda and the other one is playing the part of Krishna, covering her face with both her hands, pretending to be like a fearful child. Vishnu Chakravarti says, as the predominance of Unmad became gradually subdued, the gopi's self-identification with Krishna slackened, and they resumed their identities as gopis. When one gopi showed enthusiasm, in other words, they already have enacted Krishna's Balya Leela, and they already enacted Krishna's Pogunda Leela, and they already enacted some of Krishna's Kaishora Leela. Now they're reverting and going, one gopi is going back to the beginning, start their record again. You know, repeat or something? Loop type thing, repeat the track again. So when the madness became subdued and their identification with Krishna slackened, they resumed their identities as gopis. Because before, one was Krishna and the other was Krishna. Now one's a gopi, but Yashoda, no longer Krishna. And the other one is Krishna. When one gopi showed enthusiasm in imitating Krishna stealing butter and breaking, Yogamaya played the role of Yashoda and performed the required actions, saying, oh, naughty child, you should not have stolen butter, and ran away. Then Yogamaya tied up that gopi with a garland. Out of fear, the gopi hid her face with her two hands, as described here. Ready. So now we're in text 24. Chapter 30, text 24. It's actually that we covered these verses, 14 through 23. And these 10 verses of chapter 30, the Braja gopis are imitating Krishna's leelas. Each gopi is fully identifying with Krishna, bhavtaratmya. So now they're coming out of that. This, their madness has subsided. This text 24. Evam Krishnam Richampana Vrindavana Latas Turun Yachakshita Vino Deshe Padani Paramatmanaha. Translation. While the gopis were thus imitating Krishna's pastimes and asking Vrindavan's creepers and trees, where is Krishna, the Supreme Soul, Paramatma, they happened to see Krishna's footprints in a corner of the forest. So up until this time, for several minutes, or can't say the time, but 10 different verses, gopis walking here and walking there and taking time out to imitate pastimes. One gopi becomes Putana, another gopi becomes Krishna, one gopi Trinavarta and Yogamaya and many persons involved. Now they've asked all the trees and flowers and plants, have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna? No response, no indication. It's becoming more and more hopeless. They went crazy. And they went crazy to such an extent that they came back to sanity. And again, they're searching. And great exasperation. Oh, they saw Krishna's footprints. Finally, some lead in the mystery. And sometimes they're trying to solve some whatever. So we're looking for a clue to find out who is it, say some robbery, some great robbery. And there's no clue who did it or how they did it. And so finally the gopis are finding a clue. Oh, here's Krishna. This is a clue, Krishna's footprints. And Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, he comments on this verse 24, text 30. While the gopis are enacting and singing about Krishna's pastimes repeatedly, they also ask questions. There is a sequence of events in this chapter in the gopis' search for Krishna. First, in separation from Krishna after he disappeared, the gopis felt great pain. And then they began searching and singing about Krishna. And they started enacting his pastimes. Then again, they began searching and inquiring. And finally, they saw his footprints. Basically, Jiva Goswami's Tika is an outline of what we've covered so far. So it's nothing significant. Vishnu Chakravartipad is telling this. In this way, the gopis are searching for Krishna in the forest after forest, asking his whereabouts from the trees. The sanchari bhav called Unmad, which appears in a state of separation, is characterized by identity with the object of affection. When it is in the most intense state of forgetfulness. Well, it's a very nice sentence. I'll repeat it because there's quite a lot of distraction. And this sentence and the conception that this sentence is conveying by Vishwanath fully applies to Gopi Bhav and to Manjri Bhav Upasana. Because we're attempting to identify with our own sarup and identify with our Yukteswari, especially the heart and feelings of Radharani, Radharani Bhav Tadatmya, or Tulsi Manjri Bhav Tadatmya. So Jiva Goswami is talking about the gopis and how they became identified with Krishna. So just follow these words and apply these words to yourself or to ourselves as sadhakas. The sanchari bhav called unmad, which means excessive madness, appears in a state of separation. Okay, there's a state of separation. The gopis are here, Krishna is not to be seen. The sadhaka is here, Radharani is not to be seen. We can't see Radharani, we can't see Tulsi Manjari. The gopis can't see Krishna, the object of their affection and their object of their seva, and we can't see the Manjaris and we can't see Radharani, who is the object of our affection and the object of our seva, the goal. So in this state of separation is characterized by identity with the object of affection. when it is in the most intense state of self-forgetfulness. So in order to identify with Radharani in a state of affection, we have to forget this body. We have to forget our bodily identification. That's why the Guru gives Sarup, Siradeya. This is your Deha. This is your body. This is your Nitya Deha, Siradeya, eternal perfect form. This is the real you, not this American body, Russian body, German body, Indian body. This is not you. Don't think about that. Forget that. You function in that body to maintain your life as long as your Prabhupada karma is running. So you function in that body and you function in your bodily relationships, but don't be attached there. The gopis are functioning as gopis. They're milking the cows, they're sweeping the floors, they're doing the vastu puja every morning. They're showing respect to their mother-in-law and father-in-law, serving their children, their husbands, everyone they're serving, but with no attachment. And they've forgotten all of that. So this is a nice point. So Vishnu says, in the medium, he says there's different stages of intense pain and separation. In the medium stage of unmad, sometimes being fully absorbed in In the medium stage, so the gopis are in the topmost stage of madness called Divyonmad, Mahabhav. But there's different degrees. Everywhere there's degrees in hierarchy. Kanishtadikari, Madhyamadikari, Uttamadikari. All different levels of devotees. Poor man, middle class man, rich man, everywhere. Ugly, average, beautiful. These three divisions are there because three is the way everything's divided. Whole material universe is divided in threes. Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. So now we have the medium stage of Unmad. There is imitation of the beloved's behavior with the same self-awareness as in the following statement in the story of Prahlad. May sound familiar. Seventh canto, chapter 4, verse 40. Kvachit tad bhavana yuktas tanmayon nuchakaraha. Sometimes being fully absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu, Prahlad Maharaj felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. So this idea is even there. I was mentioning that the other day, how we can ultimately feel a sense of oneness with the gopis. That's Gopi Bhav. And maybe even imitate the pastimes of the Lord. That's what they do in Ras Lila. The Brahmin boys and Brahmin girls, they imitate the pastimes of the Lord so much they even dress up like Krishna, dress up like Radharani. But Gaudiyas, we don't externally do that. It's called Sakhi Beka, Sakhi Bake. Sakhi Bake means to dress up like a Sakhi, to more fully identify with your Sakhi Sarup or Manjari Sarup. But this is not appreciated. This is considered a Utpatyaiva Kalpate, Utpatyaiva, a disturbance in the society of devotees. So we dress up internally in our meditation. And in a meditative world, we try to imitate the mannerisms and the feelings and even the postures, you could say, identify, because we're identifying with Radharani's Kila Kinshit Bhav. Radharani's a Nayaka, and she exhibits eight different forms of Nayaka Bhav, or the feelings or emotions of a heroine. So one of those Kila Kinshit Bhav. Kinsha means a little, and Kila means many. Bhav, a little of many feelings. So there's seven different feelings or emotions mixed in this one type, one loving expression of love or sentiment. And the Radharani is called Kila Kinchit. And one is, there's anger, there's joy, there's shyness, there's opposition, contrary mood, many different feelings in one. So Radharani's turns her head like this, and her eyes are like this, and her mouth is like this, all different things. So when one is meditating, he's reading that, then he may even move his head like this or like this and try to see, oh, because the Manjari in a meditation and in real life means this transcendental realm, when one becomes sitta, one is fully seeing Radharani's face, just like someone who's a pujari or whatever has a Thakurji. Every day they're dressing Thakurji and looking at him, or Radha or Krishna. So then any other time of the day, they can close their eyes and they can see that form of the Lord like directly. Oh, Krishna's nose is like this, his eyes are like this, because we're so familiar and meditating so much. Or someone is an artist, they're working many days on a painting of Krishna's Leela. So practically they dream of that. They're seeing so much, and then they eyes open and they see the painting they're working on, and eyes closed in sleep or even just in meditation, they see, oh, I made Krishna's face like this. But I think his chin is too pointed. Krishna's chin is too much pointed. So tomorrow I'm going to round out his chin. Or chin is too square. It looks like someone, he looks like someone from England with a square chin. So the artist meditates and sees. So the meditator, the devotee, or the Manjari Upasaka must be like a meditative artist, must meditate on the Siddhadeya and then the forms of Radharani and the leading Manjaris and Sakis and his or her line. So the gopis are showing that, and that's being seen in Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is not a gopi. He's a devotee. He's considered the ideal devotee. He represents this bhakti. We say Bhakta Prahlad. Have you heard? Bhakta Prahlad. So we are not ideal devotees, but we are attempting. So we can learn things from the great devotees. There are many teachings of Prahlad Maharaj on philosophy and his own life's example of fearlessness and determination and steadiness and confidence and hope are a great inspiration for all devotees who require all these same qualities to make progress in devotion and to deal with the upheavals and obstacles that come along the way. We can take shelter of Prahlad. As you know, in Jagannath Puri, Sri Krishna Chaitanya was hearing from the lotus lips of Gadadhara Pandit. It's told in Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya heard the story, the whole Leela and explanations, all the tikas of Gadadhara Pandit. Must be quite amazing. He heard all the tikas and commentaries and Leela of Prahlad from the mouth of Gadadhara Pandit in the bagicha, like this. That's Tota Gopinath. This is not Tota Gopinath bagicha. This is Vishakananda Kunj, or Madanananda Kunj. And Lord Chaitanya heard the story, Prahlad Charitra, the story of Prahlad, he heard 100 times. So this nice points there. So we're hearing here in the seventh canto in chapter 4, verse 40, it says that Prahlad was so much identifying with the Lord, the Sringadev, that he started to imitate the pastime, various pastimes of the Lord. So he was bhavtadatmya with his object of his devotion, and the gopis are bhavtadatmika with the object of their devotion. So we are supposed to be bhavtadatmika with the heart of Radharani, with the heart of Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, maybe even to this extent. Bhakta Prahlad is an exemplar. He's a Mahajan. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Yamaraj is describing the great spiritual teachers, Swayambhur, Naradas, Shambho, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo. So he says Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo. So Bhishma, Prahlad, Swayambhu, Vamanu, Brahma, Narada Muni, Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam. The last line is Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam. He says Bali is a great Mahajan, Bali Maharaj. He's a great Mahajan teaching surrender, absolute surrender and pure devotion. And Vyasaki is Shukadev, the son of Vyas. And Vayam means me, Yamaraj. So Yamaraj is a great Mahajan. So Prahlad is teaching us about fearlessness, and also teaching us about meditation as gopis and Manjari Bhav. Very interesting. Of course, we don't meditate on the Sringadeva or Hiranyakashipu. We meditate on Radharani and Krishna, the sweet form of Bhagavan, not Gora Bhagavan, or let's say Vibhatsa. Vibhatsa is a Gona Rati. The secondary ras means horrible, ghastly ras, and that's incompatible for Madhurya ras. So Rupa Goswami doesn't accept that Gona Rati, Vibhatsa. Of course, sometimes it's applied in an extended way. Vibhatsa Rati. It's one of the secondary rasas. Vibhatsa means disgust or horrible. That means disgust. So sometimes it's described when the coward boys are stealing butter and they go into the house of an elderly gopi or any gopi, and the gopi's been sick and she hasn't churned any yogurt for a few days, because the yogurt is supposed to be churned in the morning and the fresh butter is made every day, or at most at night, and it's kept overnight in the clay pots in the storeroom and the dud bandara, the milk storage room. So by chance, this yogurt was a few days old. So when Krishna and the boys went to steal it, like monkeys, before the monkey eats something, he smells it. You go, oh, no good. So Krishna and monkey, Bhagavan Bandur Ek Saman. Bhagavan Bandur Ek Saman means that the Bhagavan and the monkeys have a similar idea. This is what the Brijvasi Pandas say. They say, Bacha Buddha, Bhagavan Bandur Ek Saman. He says that the child and the old man and the monkey have the same, are equal, the same idea, same acting. It's just not literally, it's not like that. It's a local joke. So when Krishna puts his hand in this yogurt pot, which is a few days old, then he smells it. Oh, God. And it's really stinking. You know, nothing more stinking than old milk. You ever go by Don Gatti or somewhere, go over down by Don Bihari, all the milk is coming down, or Jatipur, the milk is coming down the gutter and it's dried up for a few months and weeks, and it's very bad. So that Krishna and all the coward boys followed suit. Whatever face he made, they all made the same face. So he went, oh, it's really horrible, disgusting. So that's the only slight example of Vibhatsa Ras. But that's in Sakya Ras. Nowhere, you know this? Nowhere in Madhurya Ras. Except, I don't know, maybe if you see the face of Jatila or something in the wrong way, it may come like that. But it's usually not indicated like that. So that's text 24. I wrote a few words here because that's kind of a section conclusion. Now we concluded the section, verse 14, 15 to 23, where the gopis are imitating Krishna, fully identifying Krishna hum, I am Krishna, I am Krishna. Now there's a new section from verse 24 to 33, and it's all about footprints. They're tracking the footprints of Krishna. So I have a small comment to kind of, because now we're on verse 24 of chapter 30. We started with the last few verses of chapter 29. So we'll probably finish chapter 30 this month and maybe start the Gopi Gita. What's going on? So this is 24. Gopis are no longer imitating Krishna's form. Now they found his footprints. They're very excited. Oh, he's still here. He hasn't run away and gone to Nandagram. He must be somewhere nearby. Because if you're walking, searching for someone, and you find some clue which indicates the presence of that person, you will be very excited and very hopeful, because they were really distraught and frustrated and disappointed. Oh, a footprint. And maybe some gopi is very special, so she bent down and felt it. Oh, it's fresh. You know, fresh foot. There's an old footprint and a fresh footprint. So she understood it was fresh. So this is just a summary I gave it. At this juncture, we're entering now the footprints section, verse 24 through 33. The gopis find footprints of Krishna, and then eventually they find footprints of someone else. Who is that special gopi? So thus far in chapter 30, the Ras Lila, the gopis are searching for Krishna. And Sri Jiva Goswami Pad in his tikas, as a summary, he has described five stages of the gopis' experience. And I'm seeing a parallel between the five stages the gopis are going through and the five stages that the sadhakas go through. So that's why I think it's an interesting point that we have an idea about. So Jiva Goswami describes these five stages of the gopis' experience in relation to Krishna. They met him on the banks of the Yamuna. He called them for the rasa dance. So the first stage is Krishna disappears. And when Krishna disappeared from their sight, at first the gopis felt pain. First stage is disappearance, and they felt pain. Then they were searching and singing. And then they were enacting his leelas. And they were searching again and making more inquiries. And then they discovered Krishna's footprints. So it's separation, searching, crying, enacting, searching, and discovering. It almost sounds like the life of a devotee. Sometimes in the beginning of bhakti bhajan, most devotees, they experience some ruchi and some taste, some enthusiasm, beginner's enthusiasm, some positive response from Krishna. Oh, this is very exciting. Of course, it's new, it's different, and it's purifying, so devotees feel some change. Many devotees have a great experience when they first join. It appears that Krishna is really reciprocating and encouraging and blessing the devotee to push him along and give him renewed enthusiasm. All of a sudden, Krishna withdraws the kripa or something. Oh, become sick, fall flat on your face, lose your enthusiasm, have second thoughts. So many doubts arise. Should I continue? Should I leave? Should I go back to college? What should I do? So the first point is that the gopis felt pain in his absence. So that's where we are in one sense. Because have we seen Krishna? No. So for us, we're at the stage of separation. Krishna has left us. He's not only left us, he's never appeared to us. Other than that initial, initial reciprocation with us, which is not exactly sakshat darshan, but it's a type of mercy. So then we're not seeing God. So then what do we do? That's our sadhana. In fact, many devotees, when they start spiritual life, that's their ambition, or that's their desire, is to see God. I want to see Krishna. I want to love Krishna. The curious and the philosophical, because they may have some doubts, they want to see God. And those that already accept the existence of God and already believe in God, so they're not doubtful, they want to love God. But in order to love him, you also have to see him and directly experience him. So intellectual will want to see God to confirm the existence and remove his doubts. And the sentimental and emotional, who already accepts the existence of God, he'll want to experience God's love and offer and direct his love to God or her love. So this is stage one. Krishna disappears. They feel pain. So we also feel pain because we're in viraha in the sense that we haven't seen God. Second stage, the gopis search for Krishna and they're singing. So and this is a search. That's why I quoted this verse, Tad Vigyanartam Sagurum Evabhi Gachet. This is one of the definitions in this verse from 11th canto in Mundaka Upanishad also. It defines the guru and it defines the seeker. The seeker and the teacher. The seeker is the sadhaka, the devotee. And the guru, of course, is the teacher, the wisdom teacher. Tad Vigyanartam Sagurum Evabhi Gachet. So if we want Vigyan, we want the actual science. We want to know the truth of the existential reality of God and our own selves as Atma. Then we have to what? We have to search for the Guru. Tad Vigyanam Sagurum. Sagurum Eva Bigachet. Sagurum. We have to look for the wisdom teacher. Unlike modern people often say, and I've heard at least when I was young, long ago, 1970s, like that, people would say, no, when you're ready, the guru will just manifest. On one level, of course, that's true. but this is not what the Vedas tell us. This is not what the Upanishads, they say you should, we must search. Evabi gachet means you must look, you must walk, you must read, you must go on the internet, you must look at YouTube movies or listen to audios or go to India or go to somewhere and where great saints are speaking and meet them and hear from them. And then, so that's the first line is the seeker must seek. That's the word, seek. S-E-E-K means to move. Seeking doesn't, like, oh, I'm sitting in my room. What are you doing? I'm sitting in my room all day and night. I'm seeking wealth. You're seeking wealth. Well, you're not going to, seeking means movement. Seeking, movement. So then in the second line is the definition of the guru. Shrutiyam Brahmanishtam. He's heard transcendental knowledge and he has some experience of that also. And he's fixed in his convictions, which he's gained by his surrender and by the mercy of God and his independent study and the revelations awarded to him or her by the mercy of Krishna. Shrutiyam Brahmanishtam. So this is the searching part. The gopis are searching and singing, so we're searching for the teacher. That's the hardest part, finding the teacher. You know the subject you want to learn, now you have to find the teacher. So that's the gopis. They know the subject they want to find. The subject is the Prem Vishay. Vishay means the subject. The subject they want to learn, they want to serve, they want to love, they want to see, they want to be with, they want to associate, and want to give themselves to. Prem Vishay is Krishna, and they're the Prem Ashraya. They're carrying their Prem, their hearts are full of Prem, their hearts are saturated with Krishna Prem, but they're empty without the subject to offer their Prem to. So they're searching. So we're also searching. We have the capacity to love Krishna. If bhakti is there, then we have the propensity and capacity to love Krishna. Third stage, the gopis, through they start enacting their leelas. So this is for the devotee. This means shravanam kirtanam, smaranam. So our singing, the gopis are searching and singing, and they're enacting as leelas, and they're also singing. So enacting the leelas, where the gopis are literally enacting the leelas, we're doing shravanam and kirtanam. We're hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is our singing. And smaranam is our enacting Krishna's leelas. We're enacting Krishna's leelas by doing leela smaranam. We meditate on Krishna's leelas and we have an identity, our own individual identity, and we project that identity into the leela, and hopefully we're accepted there. And if we have connections there, if you have a good connection, you can get accepted in big places. If you don't have a good connection, you can't get accepted. So connections are often very, sometimes they say, oh, he has connections in high places. Have you ever heard? And he may be not a big person like Prime Minister, but he has connections in high places. Oh, let me put my request through him. Yeah, I can move this for you, but I need a little pranami, you know? Oh, yeah, no problem. And then things move invisibly through the channels. So this is our... Gopis are enacting the leelas. I am Krishna, Krishna hum. See how I kill Putana. So we're meditating. Oh, see how I'm serving the lotus feet of Radharani. See how I'm painting lac on the bottom of Radharani's feet. See how I'm brushing Radharani's hair. See how I'm fanning Radharani when she's running down the footpath in her Unmad Abhisarika, the madness of her love journey to meet Krishna in the middle of the night. And I'm fanning her, keep the flies from her. And keep her cool. So this is enacting the leela, stage three. So then the gopis are searching. They again, more inquiry. They stopped enacting the leelas. And now in this verse 24 through 33 and chapter 30, they're going to search because they find something, some clue. Oh, there's a footprint of Krishna. And then they start running. Let's find another one. And like children, following the footprints of the birds on the beach. You see that's in even Krishna Leela, that one of the Leelas, the coward boys, the birds would be flying over the beach, the boys would be playing along the Yamuna and along the sandy beach on the banks of the Yamuna, and there'd be some birds flying overhead, and the boys would run and chase their shadows on the sand. know, the bird is flying and the sun is shining above it, creating a shadow. And the boys are, the bird goes this way, that way, because birds go like this. And the boys are running and trying to follow the shadows. There's so many amazing games they play. You can see in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. So the gopis are seeing one footprint and they get excited and they run to another one, try to find another one. You'll see there's 10 verses about footprints. And there's only one pair of footprints and then enter two footprints. Oh, the plot thickens. Who is this gopi? And everyone's looking around. Who is this gopi? And it takes a long time. They realize, oh, this is a very fortunate gopi. And some know who it is and some know who it is and say so. And by glorifying that gopi, and some know who it is and they say so by vilifying that gopi and speaking negatively about her. Oh, some other gopi has gone off away with Krishna, leaving us alone. That's Chandravali. Then Radharani's gopis say, oh, look at this very fortunate gopi that Krishna has taken her. She is so fortunate that Krishna has taken her and not us. What great fortune she has. So this is Lalita and Vishakha, that they're so happy for their girlfriend. Oh, Radharani, she's with Krishna. That's wonderful. That's all we want anyway. The gopis and the mandris, their whole goal of their life is to unite Radharani with Krishna. I mean, all the fanning and foot care and everything they do and tumble and all these sevas is meaningless without the unification of Radha and Krishna. This is the whole union is the goal, not separation. Separation is just to thicken the sweetness of union. Now you have milk, and it's nice, but you put lots of ice cream in it, it becomes thick and sweeter. So thicken the ras, you know. It's not the best of analogies, but certainly it's something to think about. So there's searching. This is a four-stage searching. So what I say for the devotees, we are enacting the leelas, our smaran, meditating on leelas, and we're continuing to sing and chant about Krishna, which means japa and nam sankirtan. And we're getting purified by that. And the gopis are searching again and making more inquiry because they found footprints. So for the devotee, that means more bhajan. And we start learning so many tattvas and truths. Then the search continues and maybe continue for many lives, the search for Krishna. Then finally, as we're seeing now in chapter 30, 24 through 33, the gopis find Krishna's footprints. So for the devotee, the sadhaka who is practicing Krishna bhakti, his fifth stage that Jiva Goswami is talking about means finding Krishna, feeling Krishna's presence, perceiving the awareness of Krishna. And then an intense desire awakens in the devotee to see Krishna. And this stage of discovering Krishna's footprints for the gopis is equivalent to the stage of bhava bhakti for the sadhaka. And that there's three symptoms, three desires that become very profound and consuming in the heart and the mind of the devotee, which we mentioned at least three or four times already in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna Darshan Prapti Abhilas, Krishna's Seva Prapti Abhilas, and Krishna's Prema Prapti Abhilas. The desire to, the intense Abhilas, or desire to attain the Darshan of Krishna. Intense desire or abhilash to attain the seva of Krishna, intense desire abhilash to attain the love of Krishna, the full-blown, pure love of prema. So this all awakens very deeply and profoundly in an all-consuming way at the level of bhava bhakti. But even for the little junior devotees like all of us, there are some drops of these same things. Do we want to see Krishna? Yes. Do we want to serve Krishna with everything we have and anything we'll ever have and forever? Yes. Do we want to experience the love of Krishna and offer him the experience and offer Krishna the experience of our love? Yes. So it's not so all-consuming because we're not on the level of bhava bhakti, but there's something there. So that's good. It's like the primer paint on the wall. It's only white. It's not the final color. But the primer paint on the walls of the heart are the aspirations. The walls of the heart is like the wall of the room. Primer paint means white paint, which makes a nice surface, and then the color that you add to it can look very bright and attractive. So Chaitodharvanamarjanam, this is the whitewashing of the heart and developing the proper desires and ambition and attitude and feelings towards the Lord is preparing for the color. The color comes at the stage above. So rag means color. Raganuga Bhakti, the word rag in Sanskrit also means color. So color means we're preparing the heart to make it very colorful with different flavors and different colors of lila. So these five stages also apply to the Krishna Bhakta, especially the sadhaka worshipping Radha and Krishna in the mood of Braja Gopis. In our individual lives of sadhana, we too feel the pain, not like the gopis, because Krishna suddenly disappeared, but we feel pain for another reason. Why do we feel pain in relation to Krishna? Because we have not yet seen Krishna. That's another kind of pain. It's one thing to see someone and then they disappear and then you miss them and you're in the pain of separation. It's another kind of pain or torment to want to see someone and want to see them very badly and year after year, month after year, month, life after life even, and still not seeing them. That's painful. That's very painful. So that's our special reward. You must have heard the expression, no pain, no gain. I mean, sadhana means suffering. Siddhi means bliss, anand. Tapasya means burning. The word tap, the root word of tapasya, austerity, penance, self-denial, self-control. This is painful. We're animals. We want to be unrestricted and uncontrolled. Free spirit. So to impose embargoes on yourself, to impose restrictions, dress like this and eat like this and get up like this, you may, sometimes people rebel. They rebel against the sadhana life, the strictness, the self-denial. So this is painful. So gopis are in pain. We're feeling another kind of pain. We have not yet seen Krishna. I have never seen Krishna with my eyes, but by hearing so much and serving Krishna so much, I now really want to see Krishna. And without seeing Krishna, I feel pain. I feel sadness. Oh Krishna, where are you? Oh Radharani, where are you? Goswamis, they prayed like that. When we sing this prayer, sometimes we get together or alone, we sing the Goswami Astakam. But when we sing the last Astakam, do we sing it the way it's really meant to be said? It's impossible because we're not Rupa Goswami. Hey Rad, hey Vrajadevi, Kecha Lalite, hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. They're crying. Once at one great acharya, one friend of mine, he said, we should cry for Krishna. And someone raised their hand and said, I'm pretty hard-hearted. I'm a modern person. I'm a modern, rational, logic-minded person. And it's really hard to make us cry because we're hard-hearted and stone-hearted and bull-headed. So it's hard to cry. And then the teacher said, well, then cry that you can't cry. Cry over the fact that you can't cry for Krishna. I'm so mean. I'm so hard-hearted. I'm so contaminated and so unemotional and devoid of any feelings or sentiments for anybody, especially God. That would be the last person to have any feelings for. I can cry for my husband or wife or kids or myself. I do that a lot. But the cry for God. So he said, well, then cry because you can't cry. I thought that was pretty clever. So that I know this game. So in Raja, in Vilapakusamanjali, verse 102, Raghunath Das Goswami, he epitomizes at least we can look at it and get some impression by reading it, this prayer, or even meditating on it. This prayer epitomizes this pain and separation of a sadhaka, anxious, hoping against hope to see and finally attain Krishna. This is a prayer. Asha barer amrita sindhu maye katam chit kalo maya tigmita kila sampratanhi tam chait kripam mai viras yasineva kiyam me praner rajena cha varora bakari napi. He's saying, oh, varoru radhe, somehow I have passed my time at Radhakund. Somehow I have passed my time at Radhakund. Deeply hoping to attain an ocean of nectar. However, if you don't give me your mercy, then what is the use of my life, my living and braj, and even Krishna to me? That's a very deep prayer. You have to think about it quite a bit. In other words, without your mercy, my pran, my braja bhajan, and Bakari Sri Krishna are all useless. That's a heavy statement of despair and frustration and utter hopelessness. Asha barer. This heavy hope I have, Amrita Sindhu, I want to fall into this ocean of nectar. So we may feel like that also. How many rounds and how many books and how many classes and how many parikamas and how many pujas and artiks and how many incense have you burned? How many sticks of incense have you burned in the service of Thakur? How many ghee lamps have you lit and offered to Damodar? Calculate it. 30 a month, and just for this month. And thousands and thousands. So much ghee and so much light, but not one darshan of Krishna. This is something. Ashavanda. Hope, bound by hope, hope against hope. This is the astonishing conclusion of the Gaudiya Vaishnava's worship. I don't want Krishna. You ask any Vaishnava, the Madhva Sampradaya, or anyone that's worshipping Vishnu or Krishna, what is your sadhya? What is your goal? What is your param gati? Vishnu Loka, Vaikuntha, I want Vishnu. Oh, what are you? I'm a Krishna Bhakta. Jivara Srupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. Oh, do you want Krishna? No, I don't care about Krishna. I don't want Krishna. So what are you? You're atheist, you're aparadi, you're nindak, an offender. So this is the astonishing conclusion of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojan Acharya. He's the teacher of the sadhya, the ultimate goal of existence and the goal we strive for. And he's saying, I don't care about Krishna. I don't care about living in Braj. If Radharani doesn't give me her mercy, Radharani, who is this Radharani? You ask the Madhvas, they say, I had never heard of Radharani, some apsara. There's some apsara from some heavenly planet. There's no consort of Narayan or Vishnu known as Radharani. She's Lakshmi. So they don't even accept the existence of such a personality. And they worship Krishna, Udupi Krishna. And we're like crazy about Radharani. For them, she's imaginary. It's like, so we're crazy for a mirage. Very smart people. They can quote lots of shastra. And we fold our hands and say, very nice. You have your way. We have our way. So please get out of my way. So I can go forward. You keep your arguments. And I, yes, whatever you say, I accept. But my ultimate conclusion is, Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe, Maharani Ki Jai, Maharani Ki Jai. That's all we know. So it's Karuna Mayi Radharani. What more? Oh, you people are crazy. So this is, I don't want Krishna. I don't want Radhakund. And without Radha, I don't even care about Krishna. Let's just see the focus, the Ananya Bhakti, the perfection of Raghunath Das Goswami. So this is stage one, the pain, the separation. Stage two is the searching. This is again a review. That means finding guru, taking diksha, sadhana bhajan, searching your heart, searching your mind and soul, and taking the essence, searching for the essence, which is Radharani. This is stage two of the search. And stage three is enacting the leelas. And this is an advancement in bhakti bhajan. We become eager to enter the leela, enter the leelas of Krishna. And we begin Leela Smaran. When we first start Krishna Bhakti, what is Leela Smaran? There's Leela Snoran. We're sleeping. Someone's reading Krishna book and we're sleeping. So it's, Krishna book is Leela. There's Leela Smaran and there's Leela Snoran. Snorin means snoring. And you know what that means, sleeping. You ever give a Bhagavatam class? Or you ever been in a Bhagavatam class? It's about the Leelas of Krishna. Srishti Leela, Pralaya Leela, Ras Leela, so many Leelas are there. And many people are not doing Smaran, but they're sleeping. You ever sleep? I did sometimes. So it happens to everybody. And so the answer, so this is the stage, this is the third stage of enacting Leelas. We become mad to hear and read and remember Radha and Krishna and their Astakali Leela. We try to serve and see the Leelas in our meditation and especially within our own individual Siddhadeha. And fourth level, like the gopis, is not finding Krishna, then more searching. Then so the gopis are inquiring from the plants and trees and the earth. Oh, Bhumi Devi, have you seen Krishna? Oh, deer, have you seen Krishna? Oh, Ashwat, Plaksha, Nyogra, Banyan, people tree, have you seen Krishna? Oh, Malika, Yuti, Malati, Mogra, have you seen Krishna? So then that's their searching and inquiry. So we're also searching and inquiry. We inquire from the saints. We meet sadhus and we ask them, how can I perfect my bhajan? How can I enter the leela? How can I see Radharani? Like you meet saints. You say, oh, can you tell me how to find Radharani? What can I do to have Radharani's darshan? You're living in Braj. And you must have seen Radharani. Sometimes I meet sadhus and they say, you're doing bhajan. So what have you experienced? What have you experienced about Radharani and Krishna? They ask me. So then I have to say something. Oh, I had nothing. Or whatever you would have to say, truthfully. And then you say, may I ask you? And they say, if they want to tell you, they may tell you or may not. But at least we can ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. And sadhus rather like it. Usually people don't ask. They just come for darshan and ask the sadhu to sing a song or chant Hare Krishna or something. But when you inquire about these things, it's very kind of catches you off guard when you go to meet a sadhu, because you're going to meet the sadhu to ask questions or get some blessings, and then he puts you on the hot spot. So how many years you're doing bhajan? So what is your anubhav? What is your experience of Radha and Krishna? Don't repeat something you heard from someone else. Your own, from your own bhajan, your own surrender and praying and chanting. So what have you seen? What have you realized? What is your experience? And then you may say not much, and you walk away and think, yes, I have to. It's a good question. I hope I can get an answer next time I'm asked this. Between now and the next sadhu I meet, I hope I have something to report. So it creates a kind of an inner drive. So then fourth stage is this searching and inquiry from saints and sadhus, how to perfect the bhajan and enter Krishna's leela, because the gopis are they're searching and trying to find Krishna so they can begin their leelas. Then the final stage, the gopis, as we're hearing now in the verses, 24 through 33. We're on verse 24 of chapter 30 now. The gopis discover Krishna. They find and they see his footprints. So for us, what will that be? Well, if you walk around Vrindavan, in some places you will see Krishna's footprints. Like in Nandagram, there's Charan Pahari. Right near Brindakun, there's one Charan Pahari of Krishna's footprints. In Nandagram, Guptakund and Brindakund, and going west towards Kaman, what we say Kaman or Kamyavan, there's on the left-hand side, there's Krishna's Charan. If you go further, another 40 minutes to Kamyavan on the top of the mountain, you can see Krishna's footprints. And if you go to Sakistali and Varsana, behind Varsana, across the road from Unchagam, it's called Sakistali, or Sakiparvat. And you wander up there on the top there with some of the local sadhus, and they'll show you so many footprints of Krishna and Radharani and the cowherd boys, and little places where the rocks make natural donuts, cups, and the gopas would put their yogurt there and pour the yogurt in the mountain and the rock cups. And then they would eat like this. And whatever, the rain would come, wash the cups, wash the stone. You seen Saki Parvat? And a slide is there and all these things. It's a lot of three-dimensional classroom here. You missed it. Before, there was a cat chasing a squirrel, trying to... I was looking that way. No one saw the whole Leela. Very dynamic. So this is... The gopis are discovering Krishna's footprints. They're getting a clear indication that soon they'll see him, or soon they'll meet him and begin their Leelas. So for the devotees, their discovering of Krishna is to have a spurti, to have a dream of Krishna in any form, any dream of Guru or Krishna or your Thakurji. This is transcendental. This is special. I discussed with my teacher about dreams, and he quoted verse from Upanishads, and dreams are real. And he explained different circumstances of how real they are, and how meaningful they are. So transcendental dreams are always important and significant. So that's a dream, but a spurti is more than a dream. And generally, spurti and visporti, these type of things happen at the level of bhava. But then there's the term anubhava itself. Anubhava means experience, direct experience of Krishna in your heart or in your bhajan or in your life. And that's individual. And Narottam Das Thakur explains in Prem Bhakti Chandrika that these treasures that are awarded to the devotee, these spurtis, these visions, these experiences, they're actually secret, and they're meant to be confidential. You may want to share with a friend, but in the way the modern world is with Facebook and all the WhatsApp and this and that, you don't know what's up. You don't know what's going to happen to your confidential revelations to so-called, quote-unquote, trusted friends. And maybe it'd be better. My understanding, of course, you may see it differently, and there's different interpretations of that. But my understanding that when one has a spurti, or one has some very profound and direct individual experience of Krishna Radharani, which is quite unique and special and transcendental, at least as far as the sadhaka can understand, that's a special individual gift for you. Has a little sign on it. For Mary, you know, for Joe. It's for you. And you keep that. And that's Krishna loves you, and you love Krishna. And his love is to be secret, like Prem Samput. If you announce your love, then the announcement itself becomes the wind to blow out the flame of love. So in the same way, when Krishna gives... I remember years ago, I was coming from Vrindavan to Delhi, and someone told me, oh, so-and-so is coming to give you a ride. He would like to have your association give you a ride. I didn't know the person. It was some life member or whatever. I said, okay. So he picked me up, and then he took me to his house. I said, well, this is not the road to Vrindavan. You're kidnapping me. What are you doing? Oh, no, my wife made breakfast and my children want to meet you. I said, this is not, I was told you were taking me to Vrindavan because I'm a little, you know, hot-headed type. I said, I want to go to Vrindavan. This is not fair. I don't even know you. Anyway, finally I surrendered. I didn't have much choice. He had the car keys. So then we're just parked there, and he turned off the Karan, he said, I want to ask you something. You know, some people are saying, have you seen Radharani? I said, no way, not at all. I said, if I did, I wouldn't tell anybody, and you wouldn't know, and I wouldn't be here anymore. If I saw her, I wouldn't stop seeing her. I would just give up my body right then and there. No reason to go on. To sit in your car and get kidnapped. So even nothing even happens to you. Nothing even happens to you, and people spread rumors about you, good or bad. That's another point. But this would be a good one. I guess we would all like to have this experience, no doubt. So like that, if by chance such a great fortune comes one's way, it's your treasure and your treasure alone. This is my understanding from Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And sometimes I've met saints, and they've also told me this, when I asked them about their spurtis or their darshans, they would say, if I say no, I haven't had any, how will that affect you? If I say yes, I have had some, how will that affect you? It's the same, really. You might say, well, if he says, yes, I had darshan of Radharani, well, that'll give me more enthusiasm and hope that, and some people take it like that and even write about that in their own biographies with that intention to encourage and to encourage the hope and success of the devotees. It's an individual viewpoint. But I feel that if after so many lifetimes and so much sadhana, if finally you get a spurti of Radha and Krishna, I think that should be kept to yourself. I've seen devotees that talk about their experiences, and it doesn't seem like, to me, good. Because other devotees often take it, oh, you're proud, or you're this or that, and then you're better than me. This can be there also. Anyway, it's something to think about. You'll come across that verse yourself in Prem Bhakti Chandrika. It's often discussed. You know this verse? The privacy of one's own revelation. So this is point five. They discover Krishna's footprint. So for us, that would be to have experience or direct experience of Krishna. So we'll start with text 25 and continue. This text 25, chapter 30. Padani vyaktam etani nandasinor mahatmana lakshyantehi tajamboja rajankusha yavadibi. Rajankusha yavadibi. This is these Sanskrit words are describing the feet of Nandasuno. Nandasuno means Nandala, Sri Krishna. The gopis are saying, oh, see the marks, the distinguishing and distinctive marks on the bottom of Krishna's feet. Easy to understand. So they saw some footprints, and they looked, oh, there's some footprints, and they're not ours. They're fresh on the sand. Now they look closer view, and they see, oh, they're not our footprints, not Radharani's footprints, but they're Krishna's footprints. The distinctive marks of a dwaja, says here, dwaja means flag, dwaja amboja, a flag and a lotus flower and an ankush, elephant goad, and a barley corn. They clearly distinguish them as belonging to that great soul, that Mahatmana, Krishna. They're calling Nandasunar Mahatmana, Mahatmanaha. Krishna's a great Mahatma. For them, he's the greatest thing of the Atma and the Maha. So Krishna is the greatest thing for their souls and for us too. So that's the translation. Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, he gives a commentary here on text 25. Jiva Goswami Pad says, the Braja Gopis, they spoke all at once. Before it was different gopis were speaking. One gopi would speak, another gopi would speak. Now they're all speaking at once. Apparently, when they saw the footprints, they all saw the, oh, and everyone together said, these are the footprints of Krishna. It's like a whole huge chorus of thousands. Yeah, there's the barley corn, and there's this and that. And that's what he says. They all spoke at once. I mean, simultaneously. And then they said the combination of all these marks are only, the gopis are seeing, are only found in the Supreme Person. The Supreme Person Jiva Goswami says the word Mahatmanaha means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And then he says, sometimes in an avatar of Krishna, you may find two or three or four or five of these marks. You see, when you see the footprints of Nitai or Chaitanya, has 34, he has lots. He has all the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. Krishna has 19 marks on his feet. Radharani has 19 marks on her feet. And many of the marks on Radharani's feet are the same marks, and the Charan Chinna on Krishna's feet are the same as Radharani. Like the elephant goad and the thunderbolt and the flag and the lotus, upcurving lion and the umbrella and the barley corn and the conch shell. These things are the same on both their feet, but different feet. For Krishna's on the right foot, for Radharani's on the left foot. So about seven out of the 19 are the same on both feet. When you see the feet of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because there's Sri there and Krishna there, on the bottom of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, there are approximately not 19, but something like 34, quite a bit. Has all practically all the symbols of Krishna, because he's Krishna, and many of the symbols of Radharani, because he's Radharani, and a few more of his own unique symbols, quite a bit. You see, Advaita's feet or Nityananda's feet, there's not so many. So that's being indicated here. That sometimes an avatar of Krishna, there are different forms of Krishna, they may have three or four or five of these marks, but not the 19. But only the Purnatam Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, Sarva Avatari Sri Krishna, we will find all these amazing 19 marks and the transcendental symbols and signs on Krishna's lotus feet, Jiva Goswami says. Wherever Krishna is playing in Braj, that place is marked by these 19 auspicious prints. That's very nice. I know many of the older sadhus of Braj. They tell me that they've told me, they have the direct experience also, that the footprints of Krishna, they manifest, they become manifest and unmanifest. They become visible and invisible according to the time and the state of consciousness or the free will of Krishna himself. Because remember, everything's conscious in Vrindavan. Everything's transcendental in Vrindavan. So if Krishna's footprints want to, if Krishna's footprints want to show themselves to you, they will. And if Krishna's footprints don't want to be seen, you will not see them. And so he explained to me that when he went 1930s, 1940s, he went with his, and 50s, he went with his guru in different, his own guru, in different places in Braj. And his guru would say, see these footprints? This is Radharani's footprints here and Krishna's footprints. Then after his guru left this world, went to Nityalila, then Golok, then the guru, the teacher, he was looking for those, went to those same places, Lila Stalis, and he looked for the footprints and he couldn't find them. And then, because he also was taking me to some of these places, and he said, I saw these prints 20 years ago and I couldn't see them. And let's see if we find them today. He said, we may see them, we may not see them. It's very interesting. I have my personal experience that I can say related to visibility and invisibility. There's a place near Kusum Sarovar in Shamkuti before Gwalpakur. Gwalpakur and the Govardhan Prikul Marg from Kusum Sarovar to Gwalpakur. Before that, if you go turn right on your way to Dangati on Govardhan Prikul Marg, go inside, you'll find a very small kund there. It's called Ratnavedi. Ratnavedi, there's a small house there, looks like a bhajan kutir. And inside that house, there's a room on the ground floor. And there's a singhasan in that room. And there's some charan chin of Radharani there. And they say that Radharani was sitting on a vedi there and being worshipped by the sakis on Holi Purnima. And the Leela, 10th canto, Shankachuda. Shankachuda came to steal Radharani and the gopis. And Radharani was sitting on a throne there in that same place. Maybe you've seen. And sometimes the sadhus, they give darshan if someone's there or it's locked up. And then he came to pick up that asan and run away with Radharani. And Balaram stayed behind and protected the gopis from other possible demoniac people. And Krishna chased the gopis with a big stick in his hand. And that kund there is called Ratnavedi. Ratnavedi means jeweled vedi, jeweled asan or platform. And there's a kund there. So right when you, there's a boundary wall there and a gate. What we see now is a boundary wall and a gate, and then inside the gate on the right is Ratnavedi, then the kund. I think many people have been there. You've seen? To outside the gate and boundary wall to the right-hand side, then now there's some formal structure there, a little brick structure and a rooftop. But that only came in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so. But since 30, 40 years, I've been going there. And when I, we used to be just a Govardhan Shila in the ground, on the ground level. There was no construction, anything there. And then you could see the footprints of Krishna, and that's in that Govardhan Shila. And you could see a katori, a bowl carved in that stone. And then there was maybe footprints of a calf also, vatsa. So time to time I would go there, I would want to show my friends exactly the same thing. And I hadn't been there for a year or so. And the wind blew the dirt this way and that way, and all kinds of leaves, and because it's just on the side. Now there's, you can see, you've seen now there's some dome there and some four sides. Well, I've gone before in 1977. Maybe you, some of you weren't even here. I went in 77 and 80 and 85. That structure came in maybe the year 2000 or 2005, maybe even later, because things get, look old pretty fast in India. Build something today and 5 years later looks 100 years old. So I took my friends from Delhi. I want to show you Krishna's footprints. I had them all excited. And I went there and was like, I was looking somewhere around here. I was looking and moving the dirt. I couldn't find. Totally apricot. Couldn't find. Now it's obvious, pretty easy. But so I had my, in that one place in my whole life in Braj, I had the experience of Krishna's footprints manifesting and unmanifesting. Or I'll give you another example. We always take the prikmas in the Vrindavan prikma, the devotees. So since 1977, we get on the prikma, Vrindavan prikma near ISKCON. You walk down the street and you come to a place called Madhavan Colony. It's on the left. But you keep going straight on the prikma mark. Right there was all sand all there, and all the cows used to sit there, 200-300 cows would sit there on the right-hand side of the Prikamarg, open sand there, basking in the sun in the mid-morning. Very beautiful. And there's a famous tree there called the Krishna Balaram tree. It has two trees. One was a peepal tree. And the peepal, I think it was a peepal tree, was growing up like this, a whitish-colored tree. And then in the middle of the branch of the tree, the tree is going up, peepal tree. There was a tamal tree growing out on the branch. And the roots of the tree were wrapped around the branch and it was getting water through the branch of that tree. Have you ever seen? It's called Krishna Balaram tree. There's two trees in one. So the white tree is Balaram, and Balaram is holding up the Krishna tree, which is dark. Tamal has a darker colored bark. And the, peepal tree has a whitish colored bark, like Kadamba. You've seen or you heard about, whatever? Krishna Balaram tree. So I take so many prikmas. I say, this is a Krishna Balaram tree, and I wear glasses for distance, so I don't usually wear them. So I just assume that I hadn't been since last year. So there's about 300 Russians with the, I say, so here's the Krishna Balaram tree. The dark tree is Krishna. And then someone said, Maharaj, excuse me, there's only one tree there. One tree? I said, yeah, there's only one white tree. There's no dark tree there. I said, really? I was like really embarrassed. It was translated into Russian from English. I said, what do you mean? This is the Krishna Balaram tree. It means two trees, and it's always been two trees. He said, no, go look. There's only one tree. I went up and I said, where's that other tree? There was no tree. Any of you ever seen the two trees? And now you see there's one, or maybe no trees. That was an apartment building. I don't know. Is there still something there? Anything there? One tree. So there's a clear example you've seen maybe yourselves, prakat and apricot, manifest and visible and unmanifest and invisible. Krishna's prakat lila is there and then it's not there. So this is a kind of a trailer or something, a preview of Krishna's lila. We don't see it, then one day we'll see it. Oh, there's the Krishna Balaram tree. Oh, there's not there, and it's here and it's there. Amazing. Raj is like always some kind of new surprise. I was really embarrassed. I was like, what? And I was like, okay, there's the Balaram tree, and let's go to the next place. Start the kirtan. So now Vishnu's commentary on 25. This is, oh, he has a more extensive commentary. This is chapter 30, text 25, Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary. Suddenly, while gopis were searching for Krishna, they unexpectedly find the footprints of Krishna, and they joyfully speak this verse. Oh, see the flag, lotus, flower, thunderbolt, elephant, goat, barley corn. These charan chinna, they clearly distinguish them as belonging to Nanda Nandan, that great personality. And then Jiva Goswami quotes the Skanda Puran, and mentions the different marks on Krishna's feet and the symbolism of them, what they represent and what they mean. And this we put that in this book also about meditation on the feet of Radha Govinda. So he says, the meaning of the transcendental signs on Krishna's foot, and at the base of his large toe of his right foot, there's a disc, a chakra, and this represents cutting down the six mental enemies, the mental enemies that we have of lust and anger, greed, envy, illusion, intoxication, for the devotees. At the bottom of the middle toe of Krishna's foot is a lotus flower. Lotus flower is full of nectar, full of sweet amrit, honey, and the bees become greedy to drink that nectar, and they go so crazy, they go inside the flower, and they drink all that lotus nectar, and they don't even notice that the sun is setting, and the lotus closes with the setting sun, and they get so intoxicated, they don't even realize they're getting enveloped and closed in the flower, and they end up sleeping there that night, just totally intoxicated. That's what happens sometimes. People get intoxicated, they fall asleep. But not inside a lotus flower. That would be quite a psychedelic experience. If you fall asleep and think you're sleeping in a lotus flower, that's pretty high. Amazing stuff. So the bee is inside the flower and he's sleeping. Maybe sometimes he dies, I don't know. But we don't want to have that kind of ending. So he's sleeping in the flower. When it opens up, then he flies home. So what does the lotus flower represent? We're not bees, but we're bhakti bees. Skanda Purana says, seeing the lotus flower on the bottom of Krishna's right foot, in the middle of his foot, under his middle toe, it indicates increasing the greed to attain and experience and taste Krishna in the minds of the bee-like devotees who meditate on Krishna's feet. On the base of Krishna's small toe is a thunderbolt which smashes the mountains of a devotee's sinful reactions. And there's an elephant goad below that. The elephant goad, Ankush, it's used for controlling the elephant. You pull behind the ears, even us, underneath our ears, very soft skin, by the jaw, end of the jaw. So it's something like that, very soft. And then Ankush has a point. Ankush is a goad, G-O-A-D. Has a point. Is a pointed steel rod. Then has a curved thing. So a curved thing is for hooking behind the ear, like that. And the elephant doesn't like it. He goes, oh. He winces. He turns his head and winces. So that means like, whoa. For a horse, horse is controlled through the mouth. That's why Krishna killed the Keshi demon by putting his left hand in his mouth. Because that's how you control the horse with a bridle. A bridle, you know, you put this thing in the mouth and you pull. Whoa! And you let it go and it's loose in his mouth. Then he runs and you pull back. He doesn't like. And a bull is controlled by a ring in the nose. You put a ring in the nose. It's not a nose ring. He's not a gopi. Brisha gopi. You put a ring in his nose and put a rope around it, then you can, 1,000 kilo bull, little girl can pull him around the courtyard. He doesn't like it. So this Ankush you use for controlling the mind is like a mad elephant. And when you meditate on Krishna's foot, it controls the mad elephant of the mind. And barley corn means when you gather all the grains together, you cut the grains from the field, and the stalk is there, and the grains are on the end, and you gather all the grains together, and you take up some weeds, and you tie around the center, and all those hundreds and hundreds of grains together, it looks like a damru, you know, the din-din drum of Shiva. It's like this, and where you bind it, it's like thin in the middle, and goes like this and like that. That's called a barley corn in English. You cut down all the barley, which means it's a grain, or any kind of wheat, and you put it together. So when you harvest the grains, and there's a good harvest, and there's lots of wheat, or barley, or rye, or whatever grain your country is growing, and you gather them all together, then they'll be winnowed, and you remove the seeds from the stalks and all these things for cooking and eating. So that's a symbol of prosperity. Grains are life. Anad bhavati bhutani parjanyat anasambhava. Krishna says in Gita, all living entities subsist on food grains. So that symbol is on the bottom of Krishna's right foot, under his toe, right big toe, and it symbolizes prosperity. So when devotees meditate on the barley corn on the bottom of Krishna's feet, it represents prosperity and enjoyable opulences. So this is Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary about the different marks on Krishna's feet and what they mean. And we'll continue tomorrow, verse 26 of chapter 30. So it's a very good news. The gopis have finally discovered some clue about Krishna's presence in the forest. They found his footprints. So to be continued, will they discover whose footprints these are? Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. So Harinam.